Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom and welcome back to today's Daf Psachim Chav Beis. Yesterday the Gemara asked the question, how do we know that Chametz on Pesach is not only Asur Ba'achila but also Asur Ba'hana? How do we know that we can't derive any benefit from Chametz on Pesach? And the Gemara responded with a machlekes. According to Chizkiah, the reason is because the Pasuk says, Lo ye'ochel chametz. Chametz may not be eaten. The fact that the Pasuk chooses to use this term, ye'ochel, rather than simply saying, Lo ye'ochel chametz, Lo ye'ochlu, Lo ye'ochel teaches us that the chametz can't produce any eating. Rashi explains, if you'd be allowed to have hanah from the chametz, for instance, sell it, you can take that money and purchase food with it. So the chametz, in effect, is leading into an achila. It's resulting in achila. And even that you may not do. So apparently, you cannot have any hanah from chametz. That was Chizkiah's approach. Lo ye'ochel denotes iser hanah as well. Rav Avohu said, anytime the Torah makes any reference to iser achila, in whichever way it chooses, whether lo ye'socha, lo ye'ochlu, or lo ye'ochel, that not only is referring to achila, but also to hanah. Apparently, according to Rabbi Avohu, deriving benefit, enjoyment from something is also a form of consuming it. And that's included in the iser of achila. The Gemara will present three cases where we find, although the Torah makes reference to iser achila, but for some reason, iser hanah is not included. And this will be a kasha on Rabbi Avohu. We'll have to try to figure out why that's the case. Says the Gemara Chav Beis Amar Aleph, five lines from the top of the Amid. Masiv Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. See, as the Kasha on Rabbi Avohu, we find that the Torah, when discussing Gid Hanasha, tells you can't eat it, but it appears that it's only Isra Achila, not Hanah. So it's a Kasha on Rabbi Avohu. What happened to Gid Hanasha, the Rachmana Omar? It says in the Torah, Al Kein Lo Yoichlu Bnei Yisrael Es Gid Hanasha. So as a result of the struggle with the Malach of Esav, where the Malach dislocated Yaakov Avinu's thigh, we're not allowed to eat the Gid Hanasha, this sinew of the animal, and the Torah uses the word lo yoichlu, don't eat it. Utnan, however, we learned in a Mishnah which indicates that you can have hanah from it. Shaleich adam yerech l'nachri, a person can send the hind part of the animal to the guy, so you can send the thigh. The Gid Hanasha b'soicha, and inside is a Gid Hanasha. V'pneishim mekoymoy nikar. There's no concern about perhaps a Yisrael observing this transaction here. And I'll say, well, look, the Yisrael is sending the animal to the guy. Apparently, he has already removed the Gid Hanasha. And this will lead the Yisrael to purchase it from the guy and mistakenly eat it with the Gid Hanasha inside. I'll say, well, how did Yisrael send it with Gid Hanasha? Apparently, he first removed it. We're not concerned about that, because its place is visible, meaning you see when it's missing, you see when the Gid Hanasha has been removed, and the fact that the Gid Hanasha is still in there is something pretty evident and obvious. In any case, we see from here that a Yisrael can send the Yerech, the thigh of the animal, the hind portion with the Gid Hanasha, even though he's currying favor with the guy, he derives some sort of hanah from his ability to send this gift to the guy, so you can have hanah from Gid Hanasha? Says the Gemara Kesava Rabbi Avohu. Rabbi Avohu holds that, yeah, you know why you could have hanah from Gid Hanasha? Kishehutru Nevela, because when the Torah was Matir Nevela Bahana, we learned yesterday that the Torah clearly tells us you can take your Nevela and sell it to a guy, you can have hanah from Nevela. So when the Torah did that, the Heter was applied to everything within the animal. Kishehutru Nevela, the flesh itself, v'chelba, and the fat inside, v'gida, and the gid, hutru, everything was included in the heter. Because when the Torah says you can have hanah from a Nevela animal, evidently everything in there is included in the heter hanah. And that includes the Gid Hanasha as well. Let's see Rashi inside. So where Rashi widens, right before the wide lines, about eight lines above that. Rashi begins with Shaleich Adam Yerech Nachri. So you can send the Yerech, but lo matzrichin a little Gida. There's no need for him to first remove the Gid Hanasha. And there's no concern. Shema Yuri Yisrael Chaveroi. Perhaps his friend the Yisrael will say, well, look, the Yisrael is sending to the guy, Kshet Nenoloi, V'yelech V'ikna Oysa Menachri. And his friend will go purchase it from the guy, Ukasava Shenital Gida. And he'll figure that, he'll assume that the sender had already removed the Gida Nosha. Hoylo Metachas Yad Yisrael Yotzesa. Since it emerged from the possession of Yisrael, apparently the fact that he let it go shows that he removed the Gid. And the customer will go and eat the Yerach together with the Gid, assuming the Gid has already been removed. There's no such concern with Pesha Makoyim Nikar. You can tell whether or not it had been removed. Okay, so there's no concern about accidental consumption. However, Shamina Mina Miha. But at least we see from here, the Gid Mutar Bahano. One can have Hanof Mugid Hanosha Vikasha L'Rabbi Avo. It's a kasha on Rabbi Avo. It tells us that whenever the Torah makes reference to achila, such as by Gid Hanasha, where it says, Al kein lo yoichlu b'nei Yisrael, es Gid Hanasha. Not only is this achila included, but it also includes hano. Says the Gemara, continues Rashi, hi v'chelba v'gida hutra. When the Torah was a matter and a vela, the heter included the basar, the chelav, and the gid. Lefichach kol chelav v'chol gid mutar b'ano. Everything inside the animal is mutmano. Shein b'chlal l'ger asher b'sharecha t'etznena v'acholo. It's included in the heter of granting it to the ger, selling it to the guy. Shegam hein kruin ima nevela. Because the chelav and the gid are also included in the nevela classification of the animal. V'hare l'cho heter ano b'lav the gid. See, here we have a Torah itself giving us a heter to have ano from a gid. Loishna nevela, loishna k'shera. It's irrelevant whether we're speaking about an animal which is kosher, was shechted properly, or nevela. The fact that the Torah says you can have hana from a nevela, which includes everything within it, even the gid hanoshim, that indicates that there's no iser hana from a gid hanoshim. Whether the gid hanoshim belongs to a nevela or a kosher animal doesn't matter. The Torah removed the iser hana from the gid hanoshim. Continues the Gemara. So this concept that the gid is included in the heter nevela only works. Hanicha lemadomer, it only works according to the shita that says yesh begidim b'naisim tam. Let's say a person takes the gid hanasha, which is asur achila, and cooks it in the same pot with other meat. Let's say. So this is machlokes whether this gid hanasha has enough flavor in it, meaty flavor, for it to impart and transmit the flavor to others inside the same pot and make it asr. That's one shit. Yesh begidin b'noisan tam. There's enough flavor in the gid to actually impart flavor to the other ingredients in the pot and make it asr. So the gid is considered somewhat basar. It has enough flavor to be classified as basar. So yeah, according to that shita, when the Torah was matar, an nevela b'hana, it included the gid hanasha as well. Why? Because the Torah says, look, you cannot eat a nevela. Right? So we're dealing with something which is edible. Don't eat it. But you may have hana, you can sell it to the guy, give it to the ger. So only something which is edible is included in that directive. The Torah is not including something which is inedible. So according to the shita, that gidim have enough flavor. So the gid has a din of a basar and is included in the nevela discussion. And that's how we know that the gid is mutabahna. Elo lamanda omar ain begidim b'naisen tam. According to the other shita, that there's not enough flavor in the gid to give off tam to others. It's considered like something inedible. Actually says like an eitz ba'amash, a piece of wood. So if that's the case, Michael lamema, what are you going to say? Meaning, you can't include it in the nevela heter. The heter says, look, don't eat nevela, implying that we're dealing with something which is edible. The meat, the fat. And then the Torah says, well, you can have anah from it. So something which is edible is included in that discussion. Don't eat it, but have anah. But a gid which is inedible isn't a class of its own. It's a new issa, don't eat a piece of wood. The gid anosh is like an eitz ba'alma. So it's not included in the nevela context. And the heter applied to the nevela, which is only something which is edible, won't apply to the gid hanasha. So that takes us back to the question, so why is the gid hanasha mutabano? That's when you write, man shamasli, the Omar ain begidir b'nois entam. Who is the Iban the Omar who holds, who you heard that he holds, that there's no tam in the gid? Who is that shita? Rabbi Shimon, right? The Sanya. Ha'ichal migid hanosha shabeim atmeya. If a person should eat from the gid hanosha of a non-kosher animal, Rabbi Yudah Mechayev Shtayim, he says, there are two liabilities. Number one, he gid hanosha. According to Rabbi Yudah, the gid of a, even a behemoth tmeya is asr. Number two, he ate part of a behemoth tmeya, so he gets two malchus. He did two averis. Rabbi Shimon Paiter, he says, completely exempt. Why? Because, number one, Rabbi Shimon holds that gid hanosha only applies to behemoth Torah. That's number one. Number two, he holds that gid is different than the basar, it's inedible. So even if it belongs to a behemoth tmeya, there's no chiv, he didn't eat anything edible. So we see clearly that according to Rabbi Shimon, a gid is rendered, is classified as something like an eitz ba'alma, like something inedible. Says him, okay, so according to Rabbi Shimon, you're right. Rabbi Shimon hachinami de asr b'hano. According to Rabbi Shimon, you're right. Again, anosh is also asr b'hano. So what was your kasha? According to Rabbi Vo, third says that you shouldn't eat a gid anosha. Any reference to Issachil includes Yisrael no. So why is gid anosha mutter? The answer was because when the Torah was matter and available, it included gid anosha. Well, that's only because gid anosha is edible and is deemed as part of the achil of the nevela. But if the gid anosha is something inedible, like an eitz ba'alma, why would it be included in the discussion of the nevela? Why would you have a heter? So the Gemara says, you're right. Rabbi Shimon is the one that holds that a gid doesn't have enough flavor to be considered food. Rabbi Shimon, hachanami de asar b'hano. You're right, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's asar b'hano. The son, you get anosha mutar b'hano, the Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says it's mutar b'hano because it's considered edible, and when the Torah was matar and nevela, it included everything inside the animal, including the gid anosha. Rabbi Shimon, he says it's asar b'hano because according to him, it cannot be included in the heter nevela because it's inedible. It's in a class of its own. It's a special iser despite the fact that it's not edible. And that iser applies not only to achil, but also to hana. Continues the Gemara with another kasha on Rabbi Avo. Varei dam. What about blood? Drachmana amaru kol nefesh mekem lo yisoich al dam. Pasuk says you're not meant to eat dam. So we have a reference to iser achila. And we still find that it's mutar b'hano v'tanan, eilu v'eilu. Mis arvin b'amo. The leftover dam of the karbonais, apnimiais, that meant to be brought to the hechel, and the ones meant to be brought outside, both of those remnants, mis arvin b'amo, both bloods mix into the stream in the azor, it was called the amma because it was an amma wide, and it would flow through that stream, v'yoytzil nachal kidroin, out to the Kidron Valley, v'nem karen ganon, would be sold to the farmers, liz zevel to use for fertilizer. Umri alan boy, if they don't pay up, then they have done isser me'ila, midrabbonon. In any case, we see that one can derive hanoa from dam, despite the fact that the Torah says it's asr b'achila. According to Rabbi Vo, isr achila includes isr hanoa. How can you have hanoa from dam? Shani dam de'iska shlamayim. Dam is different because the Torah connected it with a hekesh to water. And just as water is mutar b'hanoa, likewise dam. T'chsev lo yisaych lenu, not meant to eat dam. Ala oretz yishbechanu kamayim, spill it out on the oretz like water. We see that connection between dam and water. Ma mayim mutarn, just as water is mutar b'hanoa. Av dam mutar, likewise, dam is mutar b'hanoa. Ve'emo kamayim hamasnaschem al gavim mizbech. Fine, the Torah connects it to water. Perhaps to the water meant to be poured on the mizbech, which is asr b'hanoa. Oma Rabbi Avo. So Rabbi Avo himself answered, kamayim. Roiv mayim. The fact that the Torah says, ala oretz, tishbechenu ka mayim. Ka is the known water, the majority of water, which is mutter. So the Torah connects dam to the majority of water, not to that particular specific water poured on the mizbech, but rather to the general majority of water, which is mutter. Ka mayim, roiv mayim. Midi roiv mayim ksiv. Where does the Torah say the majority of water? Perhaps the Torah is connecting it to this very specific type of water, which is meant to be poured on his back, which is also b'hano. Ella Omar Rav Ashi, kamayim hanishpach, v'loy kamayim hanisachen. We connect dam to water which is nishpach. Ala Earth Tishbechenu Kamayim. So which water is meant to be? It's just spilled out on the floor. Ordinary water. And that's what the Torah is connecting the dam to. V'loi kamayim anasacha, not to the mayim meant to be poured on the mizbech, not meant to be spilled out on the floor. Says the Gemara, v'eima kamayim anishpochen, v'eima dezar. Okay, so we connect dam to mayim hanishpochen. But which ones? Maybe the mayim which is meant to be poured right in front of the avodah zarah. Meaning, we know that if a person takes water, pours it before the avodah zarah, and worships the avodah zarah in that manner, that water is also b'hano, it's takrevus avodah zarah. So perhaps it's to that water that's being spilled out on the floor before the avodah zarah that the Torah is connecting the dam to. Says the Gemara, asam nami nisach ikri. Even the water spilled before the avodah zarah is referenced to with the term nisach. Techsiv yishtu yei nesichem, they'll drink the wine of their pouring. So since it's being used in the service of avodah zarah, the Torah refers to it as nisach. So apparently when the Torah here is connecting dam to mayim hanishpachim, evidently we're not speaking about water poured on the mizbeach or water poured before the avodah zarah, where the Torah refers to it as nisuch, and not shvicha. Rather, the Torah is connecting dam to ordinary water, the majority of water, which is mutter. So we learn from there, just as mayim is mutter b'hano, likewise, dam is mutter b'hano. Okay, so this kasha was on Rav Evo, that we find the Torah says you may not eat dam, but still it's mutter b'hano. Why is that? The response was because we have a hekesh between dam and water, and that is matter the dam bahano. Now the kash is, according to Chizkiya, what's the point of this hekesh? According to him, only when the Torah uses the word ye'ochel, when the Torah employs that unique term, lo ye'ochel chametz, we know that the hano is included, but just plain reference to Isra Achila doesn't necessarily include hano. So although the Torah says you may not eat dam, that doesn't include hana. There's no reason to assume that there's hana. It's hana included. So why, according to Chizkiya, does the Torah have to trouble itself to connect dam to mayim? What's the purpose of that hekesh? Says the Gemara, Chizkiya lemay hilchasa iskish dam lemayim. According to him, what's the point of the hekesh between dam and water? What is it coming to teach us? Likud Rav Chiya bar Abba. The Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba Rav Yechon. It's coming to teach us the following halach. Minayin ledam kachim shein emachshim. From where do we know that the dam of karbonis doesn't have the ability to be machsher? So if it gets the fruit wet, the fruit is not hechsher, not huchsher, it's not susceptible to tumah. Shenemar, from this pasuk, lo yisechlenu, ala ores tishbechenu kamayim. Don't eat dam, spill it out on the floor like mayim. We learn from here that only something which is similar to mayim, which is meant to be spilled out, that liquid will have the ability to be machshon. Dam shenishpach kamayim machshon. Only dam which is meant to be spilled out, like water is, that dam has the ability to be machshon. So for instance, dam of non-kochim. However, she'ein nishpach kamayim. Dam of a carbon which is not meant to be spilled out, it's meant actually to be contained in the kli and brought on the mizbeach. Ein machshon, that cannot be machshon. So according to Chizkiya, the hekesh comes to teach us that dam kachim doesn't have the ability to be machshon. Continues the Gemara with another kasha on Rabbi Avo. We have another instance where the Torah makes reference to Isra Achila. However, we seem to find that it doesn't include Hana. And that's a kasha on Rabbi Avo, who maintains that any reference to Isra Achila automatically includes Hana. V'arei Eber Menachai. Tichsiv lo yisoychal nefesh ha'basar. One may not eat the flesh of a living being because it's together with the nefesh. So Eivim Nachai has a reference of Lo Yisoycha, may not eat. V'tanya, however we learned, Rabbi Nosson Neimer, Menayin Shelo Yoshed Adam Kois Yayin L'Nazar. How do we know that a person may not hand a glass of wine to another? V'Eivim Nachai Livnei Noyach, or a limb of a living being to a guy. Goy may not eat Eivim Nachai, it's one of the Sheva Mitzvahs Vnei Noyach. So how do we know we can't serve them these things? Talmud loyimav lifnei iver, lo yisite mikshol. We may not place a mikshol, a stumbling block, before a blind person. So by handing them these things which are aser, whether the wine to the nazir or the eivim and achai to the ben noyach, you're causing them a mikshol, a pitfall. So what does this indicate? The problem is only because of the mirshal. But to have anah from it, to curry favor with him, you can. You can have anah from these things. Hold a klav mishari. Or for instance, if you want to feed it to your dog, you may. You may have anah from it. So here we're just prohibiting it because he's causing him a pitfall. But the actual handing it, which curries favor, Tosfos says, actually we're speaking that the Eivah Min HaChai belongs to the guy, but the fact that you're handing it to him, you're helping him, that is considered a hana. The guy is machzik tovel Yisrael. He curries favor in the eyes of the guy. So how can you have hana from the Eivah Min HaChai? The Torah said, you're not meant to eat it. According to Ravo, lo yisaycha will include Yisrael hana. Shani Eivah Min HaChai, the iska shel dam. Eivah Min HaChai is different because the Torah connects it with the hekesh to dam. And we just learned that dam is mutter b'hano. Likewise, Eivah Min HaChai. Dechsev, rak chazak, strengthen yourself. Levilti echol adam, not eat dam. Ki adam hu nefesh. Because the dam is the nefesh. So we learn from here that just as dam is mutter b'hano, as we just learned a minute ago, likewise, Eivah Min HaChai. Says the Gemara, okay. So according to the Revo, we understand why the Torah needs to be makish to connect the Eivah Min HaChai to dam. To teach us that it's mutter b'hano, but according to Chizkiah, why is the hekesh necessary? In any case, there wouldn't be any basis for issa hana, because the Torah merely says lo yisaychal, doesn't say lo yachel. So what's the point of the hekesh? Or the Chizkiah l'may hilchasa iskesh eivah min achay l'dam. According to Chizkiah, what's the point of the hekesh between eivah min achay and dam? Amalach, so Chizkiah responds to you like this: it's actually a reverse connection. Dam. It's dam that's meant to be connected to Eivah Min HaChai, and dam is meant to learn to derive a halacha from Eivah Min HaChai, as follows: Ma Eivah Min HaChai Aser. Just as an Eivah Min HaChai is Aser, right? Af dam Min HaChai Aser. Likewise, even dam from a living being is Aser. Rashi explains because before the pasuk speaks about the Isser Achilas dam, the Torah speaks about shchita of an animal. Perhaps we can speculate and suggest that the Isser Dam is only applicable to Dam coming out of a dead animal, like the Dam from shchita. How do we know that even blood coming from a live creature is Aser? That's what the Hekesh is coming to teach us. Just as the Eiver Min HaChai is Aser, likewise, Dam Min HaChai is Aser. V'eze! What is this? Zedam HaKaza. This is the bloodletting, blood, shanush nefesh yaitzibai, that the nefesh comes out with it. Rashi explains, as long as it's flowing, we know that it contains the nefesh. So according to Chizkiah, the chiddush is that even dam min achai is also just as eivah min achai. So at this point, we had three kashas arabi avo, number one from gedanasha, number two from dam, number three from eivah min achai, where the Torah makes reference to achila, but we still find that it's mutar b'hano. And then we'll respond and explained why in each case we allow Hanoah to a special limud or hekesh, which teaches us that it's mutabana. Now the Gemara will conclude with two kashas on both, on Chizkiah and Rabbi Avo. We have two cases where the Torah actually employs the term ye achel, lo ye achel, and we still seem to find that it's mutabana. This is a kasha on both Rabbi Avo and Chizkiah. Vareshar niskel, a shayer who gored and killed somebody, he's meant to be stoned. The Rachmana Amar, lo yeyachel es besaroi. Although the Torah says, its flesh is not meant to be eaten, yeyachel, which is meant to include not only achila but also hana. And still no, we find a brisa where it seems it's not so simple that it's asur b'hana. V'tanya, mimash mashenemar, sokol yisokel ashor. The brisa asks like this. We already know that we're meant to stone the shor, give it skila. So once we know that, don't we automatically know that it's a nevela? It's not shechted. Unevela asur b'achila, and it's asa to be eaten. So why does the Torah have to add? Lo yochel, lo yochel es besari. You may not eat the basar. It's a nevela. It's asa. Apparently, the pasuk is teaching us a chiddush. Magid lecha. The pasuk is informing you. Magid lecha kosev shem shochtei la'acha shenig mardinoi. Asa. Even if it's yet before the skila, he shechted before the skila, right after the gemar din, after the verdict was issued. It is already asur ba'achila. Eli ela ba'achila. Okay, so we know achila because it says la'yochel as besori. Ba'no menai. What about isra hano? How do you know that it's aser ba'no as well? Tamal leimar u'bal asher noki. The owner of the shur is noki. How do you see hano from there? My mashma. Shimon ben zayma imer. Ka'adam sh'omer l'chaver. Like a person tells his friend, yotze pleini noki menochasam. This fellow over there, he was bereft, completely cleaned out from his assets. Ve'ein lo yibahem hanosh on klum, and he has absolutely no benefit from his nechasim. So Baal Asher Naki comes to tell us that the owner of this ox is Naki. He's completely detached. He can't have any hanah from his shur. So the kasha was, why does the Torah have to tell you it's asur b'achila if at any rate it's going to be stoned? The Torah says if he shechts it before the stoning, it's also asur, but not only b'achila, even b'hanah, because Baal Asher Naki comes to teach us that. Tama the kasav ubal asher noki. That's only because the pasuk explicitly said ubal asher noki to add isra hana on top of the isra achila. Dei mi lo yachal, because if it were only for the first pasuk lo yachal isra achila mashm. Yeah, it would teach us isra achila, isra hana le mashm, but it would not imply isra hana. This is a kasha now. Why? Why does the Torah have to add Obal Asher Naki to inform us about Isra Hano? Lo Yeyachal is Vesori, already included Isra Hano. Lo Yeyachal includes not only eating, but also Hano. Says the Gemara, Lo Oilam Lo Yeyachal Isra Achila V'Isra Hano Mashma. You're right, of course. Lo Yeyachal includes both. If that's the case, why do we need Obal Asher Naki to come teach us a new halach? Ubal Asher Naki Lanas Oira Yuda Aser. It's coming to inform us that not only is the basar aser, but also the oira, the hide, the skin of the animal, is off limits. Why was that necessary? The itzrach, the pasuk needs to inform us that the oira is aser. Sakat Dechamina, perhaps I would say, Lo Yachos Besoriksev. Yeah, the basar cannot be eaten. Besori, yin. Yeah, the basar, oira, loy, but not the hide. Kamash Malon. That's what the pasuk needs to add. Ubal Asher Naki. Not only is the basar aser bano, but the oyer as well. Continues the Gemara. Ulahanach tanoi. But there are other tanoim who actually apply the pasuk of ubal asher noki to teach us something else. So according to them, how are they going to know that there's an isr hana from the skin of the animal? Ulahanach tanoi, according to the other tanoim, the mapkilei lahid drosh achrin, who apply this drosh, this pasuk of Baal Asher Naki for a different drasha. For instance, L'chatzi Kofer, Ulmei V'lodais. So you know that an animal who's a mu'ud, habitual gorer, and he kills somebody, and the owner has to pay up, he has to compensate, he has to pay Kofer for the person that he killed. Or if the mu'ud, he harmed a expectant woman and he damaged the Vlad, he has to pay for that. That only applies to a mu'ud. A sure tam who is unwarned. In that case, even if you kill somebody who removes the vlad, there's no need to pay. Although generally, when it comes to paying nizak and the damages, he has to pay half, chatzi nezek. But he doesn't have to pay chatzi kofer. If the animal killed somebody, if the animal is still in a state of tam, unwarned, then he doesn't have to compensate. He doesn't even have to pay half the kofer, or the dmei vlad of the ish. So Baal Asher Naki is come to exempt the shor tam from chatzi kofer and from dmei vlad. That's the case. Hanas oyro imenalu. So these the tanoim who already use the pasuk elsewhere, how are they going to know that the hide of the behemoth is aser b'hano? Nafkalu me'es besari. They will derive this halacha from the word es. Lo yochel es besari. Es is an extra word. Es hatavol besari, something which is secondary, subordinate to the flesh, which is the skin of the animal. V'idach. And the other shita, who already learned the oyer from Baal Asher Naki, what is he going to do with the word es, which seems to be superfluous? Es lo darish, he doesn't expound on es. As we're going to see in the Braisa, that there was a shita which held that we're not meant to darshan the word es. Kedesanya Shimon Hamsuni, that was his name. Ba'armi lo, some say it was Nechemi Hamsuni. Hayadurish? Kol esem sheba Torah. He was accustomed to being dirish every S that he found in the Torah. that it's coming to add and include something extra. Once it got to the pasuk, which discusses having fear of Hashem, and the pasuk includes the word es Hashem al kechatira, what could we apply the es for? What could we include? Nothing equates to Hashem, to the fear of Hashem. Pirish. So he backtracked. He backed off. So that's it. I'm no longer expounding, darshaning on the word es. Homily Talmidov. So his Talmidim told him, what about all that work that you put into the drushes of the es in the entire Torah? The pasuk of es Hashem al-Kirch is actually in Dvarim. So all through Chumash, Reish, Shmai, all the es, what happened to all that effort? Homily Talmidov Rebbe, kol esem shebet shederashta. Mati alein, what's going to be with all those esen that you dirish? Homily, he told them, I'm not worried. Keshem sheki balti tzchal adrisha. Just as I had received schar from Hashem for all that effort they invested in being derish those essen, because at that point I figured it's correct to go ahead and dash in the essen. Kach ani mekabel schar al prisha. Likewise, I will get schar for backing away. As Rashi explained, he backed off from all the essen, because if this s is not coming to include anything, apparently the word S is not something that a drush is meant to apply to. So that was his opinion, because he got stuck by S Hashem Lekechatira. Ah, the Shebar Rabbi Akiva Bedarsh, until Rabbi Akiva came along and he said, no, I have a drush, even for S Hashem Lekechatira. He said like this, S Hashem Lekechatira, the rabbis, what is it coming to include? Talmidei Chachamim. As Rashi brings the Mishnah Perkei Avos, that one is meant to have Moira Rabbah Kimur Shemayim, the fear of your Rebbe is meant to be like the fear of Hashem. The Rebbe teaches you Torah. He expresses the will of Hashem. So the fear of the Talmud Chacham is somewhat equated, connected, and related to the fear of Hashem. So it's not negating Hashem or the fear of Hashem. Talmud Chacham is expressing Hashem's will, Hashem's Torah, and it's perfectly fine to apply the drush of S in this pasuk to a Talmud Chacham. Let's take a look at Rashi, perhaps. So Rashi here is, if you count from the bottom of the Amid, about 15 lines up. So he said like this, we're trying to look for a makar of the oyer. How do we know the hide of the animals, asur b'hana? So either it's from Ubal Asher Naki, or from Lo Yochel Es. Es Pesari, Es is referring to the skin as well. It says Rashi V'idach. Now the other Shita who already learned the Oyra from Ubal Asher Naki. V'idach, the Nafkele Hanas Oyra Minaki. So what is he going to do with the word Es? Lo Yochel Es Pesari? Es Lo Yochel Es Lerubuya. He doesn't use it for a Ribuya. This Sovelo Kishim and Am Suni. He goes like this Tana. Shepirish, Kol Esen Shebeter. Initially, he was in a fire, she expounded on all the S words found in the Torah, the rabbis, that is coming to include something. However, Kibin Shigil Es Hashem Kechatira, Omar, he exclaimed, he said, Ma'arbe, Lira Imai. What could I include in the fear, within the context of the fear of Hashem? And as a result of that, Pireish Mikulan, Vechazabai Mikol Ribuin Shadarsh, he backed away from everything that he did, from all the drushes. Why? Because if this one is not meant to be darshaned, so the other ones as well? If this is not coming to include anything, the other ones as well? Not coming to include anything. However, Rabbi Akiva said no. The S is coming, the fear of your Rebbe is like the fear of Hashem. So we had a kasha on both Chizkiah and Rabbi Avoh from the fact that by Shor HaNiskel the pasuk says Lo Yochel Es Besari, despite the fact that the Torah says Lo Yochel Es Besari, which would include Isser Achil and Hano, according to Chizki and Rabbi Avoh, we still need to have a pasuk of Bala Shor Naki to say Hano is Asser. Why is that? The one responded, it's merely coming to add the oyer, the hide of the animal, and include it in the Isser Hano. because le'ochlas basari perhaps would only be referring to the basar, not the ur. That's why we need an extra pasuk for the ur as well. Continues the Gemara. We have another example of the Torah employing the term le'ochel, and we still find that there would be room for heter anah. And that's a kasha on Chizki and Rabbi Avo. Vary arla. Rachmana Amar, areilim lo yachal. So the Torah says the first 3 years of a fruit tree, lo yachal, it shouldn't be eaten. So lo yachal should really include achila and anah. And we still find a braisa, v'tanya. Areilim lo yachal. Ainli el isra achila. From here, perhaps we only know you can't eat. Menayish lo yehenemenu. How do we know that you can't have anah from the arla fruit? Shol yitzba bay. Or for instance, to use it as dye. Or to use it to light in a lamp. Tamaloyma v'araltim arlosay areilum l'yachal. So you have three mentionings of arla. A triple mention. V'araltim, that's one. Arlosay and areilum. The rabbi says, kulam is coming to include all these forms of ana. Tosis explains is three psukim, and we have to have all three because we're dealing with three different forms of benefit. There's Menayish lo yenemenu, that's direct hana. And then we have shulay yitzbaboy. You shouldn't even use it for dyeing, for coloring, which isn't really such a tangible direct hana. That's another chiddush. And finally, v'liyadik boy saner, that's another chiddush because the hana here is being derived during the destruction of the erla. Perhaps that would be okay. So that's why we need three psukim, three references to erla, which is coming to say all three types of anos also. Says the Gemara, Tam et kasa rachmana v'araltim arla se'areilim. That's only because the Torah three times repeated arla to teach you that it's asr b'ano. Hol avachi, but otherwise have amino. I would think isra achila mashma, isra ano le mashma. That despite the fact that the pasuk says areilim lo yachil, it is only mashma isra achila not ano. How can that be? Says the Gemara, le'olam lo yachil. No, certainly the word le'achil is mashma bein isra achila, bein isra ano. So why then do we need a pasuk to teach us isra ano? Shani hasam dechsev lochem, because the pasuk says lochem shalosh shanim yeh lochem, and lochem sounds like heter. It should be yours. You can have ano from it. Ve'itzrich. That's why it's needed. Stalkedai dechamina. Perhaps I would say hoyu v'kasav lochem shalochem yeh. Since the pasuk says lochem, that insinuates that it's yours, it's your, you can have anah from it. Kumashmo, and that's why the Torah has to spell it out three times, arla, araltim, arla, sa'arelim, that you can't have anah. Says the Gemara, ve'elahashta dechsiv anach kroy, but now that the pasuk already tells us that it's also anah, three times the Torah makes reference to arla, lochem lamli. So why does the pasuk have to say lochem? Which sounds like it is yours, you can have anah from it. What's the point of the word lochem? Says the Gemara is coming to teach us another halacha. Look at this sanya. Lochem is coming to tell us l'rabbis esanatu l'rabim. It's coming to include even a public tree, something meant for public use. Even that has dinim of arla. So the first 3 years of that fruit tree, you may not eat it. That's the Tanakhama. Rabbi the Omer lohaitzi esanatu l'rabim. Actually, just the opposite. Lochem is coming to exclude a public tree. Explains the Gemara. My time of Tanakhama. What is the Tanakhama's basis? He says Lochem is coming to add, to include even a publicly owned tree. The pasuk begins by saying Unatatim, and then later it says Lochem. Says the Tanakhama, Unatatim sounds like we're speaking to an individual. L'yachid mashma, l'rabim le mashma. It sounds like we're speaking like to an individual who's generally the person who will plant a fruit tree. It's not mashma we're speaking but to a rabbin who generally don't plant fruit trees. So unatatim would seem to be referring only to a privately owned tree. That's what the pasuk has to add. Kasav rachmana lochem lohavi is an atul rabbin. That's what the pasuk says lochem, which is plural, coming to add even a tree which was planted for the sake of public use, a publicly owned tree, a publicly accessed tree, publicly used tree. Even that tree has dinam of arla. So that's the Tanakhama. For Rabbi Yehuda, he says just the opposite. Because unatatem mashma bein l'rabim bein l'yachad, he holds that unatatem can be even referring to a publicly owned tree. Bein l'rabim bein l'yachad. So Natatam will include any type of tree for Dinim of Arla. Then the Pasuk adds again, V'lochem, Ben Yochai Ben Rabbi Mashma. When the Pasuk says the word Lochem, that also is referring to whether a privately owned tree or a publicly planted tree. So we have a double inclusion. We have one Ribui, Unatatam, implying Yochid or Rabim. We have Lochem, implying Yochid and Rabim. So we have a double Ribui. And this is a formula when it comes to drashes. Ve'ein Ribui, Achar Ribui, Elul Lamayit. When the Torah has a Ribui and then another Ribui, it's actually coming to exclude and limit. And that's why Rebuda says, apparently a Torah is being a Mayit. A tree that belongs to a Rabim, and only a privately owned tree, has Dinam of Arla. So the most recent kasha from Arla was that although the pasuk says lo yachal, which should include achila and hana according to all shittas, nevertheless we find that we need another pasuk for hana. Otherwise we wouldn't know hana. Why? Why isn't hana automatically included? Mar said because that very same pasuk also has a word lochem, which can sound like, yeah, we grant it to you, you can have hana from it. That's why the pasuk has to express itself clearly. No, you may not even have Ana from the Arla. Okay, time for a brief review of today's daf. We had five kashas in Al-Gamar. The first three were on Rabbi Avo. Rabbi Avo holds that whenever the Torah makes reference to Isra Achila, in whichever way it makes that reference, whether Lo Yochel, Lo Soichlu, Lo Soichal, automatically includes not only Isra Achila, but also Isra Ana. Says in what we have three cases where the Torah makes reference to Achila, but doesn't seem to include Isra Ana. First case was Gidan Asha. And the Gemara says, well, you're right, it's not Asa Bahana, because when the Torah was Matar and available Bahana, it included the Gidan Asha as well. The Gemara actually told us that according to Rav Shimon it would be Asa, because the Gidan Asha is not included in the Nevela, and it's not considered to be edible like the Nevela, and therefore it's still Asa Bahana, because the Heta, the Nevela, doesn't apply to something inedible. Second Kasha was from Dam. Why is Dam Mutar Bahana? The Gemara responded, because it's connected to water, which is mutabana. Why is Evan Achai mutabana? Because it's connected to Dam, which is mutabana. We concluded with two kashas on both Chizki and Rabbi Avo from Sharon Iskal and Arla, where the Torah uses the word Yeachel, Lo Yeachel, which should include Achila and Ana. And despite that, when it comes to Sharon Iskal, we find that we need a pasuk of Balashar Naki to teach us Isra Ana. Why is that? Says the Gemara, you're right. When it comes to the Basar, of course, there's no need to have an additional pasuk. Lo yochel sabisori automatically includes hana as well. The pasuk is needed for hana's oiroi to include even the skin of the animal in Isra Ana. And finally, we discussed Arla, where the Torah as well employs the term lo yochel. So why then does the Torah have to go and specify an Isra Ana? Why don't we know it from lo yochel? The Gemara says because the pasuk says lochem, which can lead us to understand that, yeah, you can have personal benefit from the Arla. That's why the Torah has to go and express itself clearly. That is Isra Ana, and the Torah actually uses three terms, Araltam, Arla, Se'arelim, which is in reference to three different forms and versions of Ana, direct Ana, using the dye, the color of the Arla, and finally, the Hadlokas in there. All these different forms of Ana are Asur by Arla.